Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, on a lot of this, Rhea, could you please do the intro here? Because I can't remember all the podcasts John Stallness is involved
in. Yes, Phillies podcast, Hittin' Season, and Eagles podcast, BGN Radio.
John Stallness is on live with us. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
John, you tweeted this thing out yesterday, and I went, wow, we gotta look into this. Bryce Harper is showing more aggression defensively than he has in the past. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Ben Lindbergh from The Ringer did a piece over the winter as Bryce Harper was a free agent. And they were trying to look at his defense and noted that last year, he kind of was laying back on the ball. He only made one diving attempt in the outfield and four sliding attempts. Well, he's already done that in this series.
Yep.
You know, he had that great diving catch right in the first game of the series that saved a bunch of runs and really helped the Phillies win the first game. And then he had two sliding catches in the same inning on Tuesday and another one last night. So, I mean, he's already matched his 2018 output in this series alone just about.
So can we say he was preserving his health before he got a new contract?
I think that's probably safe to say. He was playing it safe knowing he had a big free agency coming up. And, you know, some of his injuries early in his career have been playing the outfield, being a little bit too aggressive in the outfield. So, yeah, I think that's the consensus, is that he didn't want to hurt himself before free agency.
All right, John, there have been a ton of theories on why Harper's not started strong with the bat. He's done great with the glove. What's your theory? If you had to say the overriding reason he's only hitting 220 with seven homers, what would you say it is?
I think he's probably pressing. I think he's trying to do a little bit too much. I think, you know, we saw this a little bit last year in the beginning of the season with him, is that his swing has a lot of moving parts. You know, he's kind of like Odubel Herrera. There's so much going on with his swing before he actually does swing. And sometimes I think he can get a little over anxious. He tries to swing too hard, and he reminds me of kind of like a six-year-old at a birthday party trying to hit a pinata. You know, he's just swinging as hard as he can.
Will this be the first and only time Bryce Harper is ever compared to Odubel Herrera?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I am going to get to that in a minute. But, John, the thing I'm trying to figure out, the theory, to advance the theory a little bit, he's pressing because he's trying to live up to this huge contract. I don't think he's acknowledged it. He's going to be on a 940 today. I'm going to ask him about it. But is it subconscious that you do that after you sign a huge contract?
I think so. I mean, he got off to such a hot start, and, you know, the fans were eating it up, and he was hitting all these huge bombs into the second deck in right field. And you want to keep doing that. And I think, you know, this is just he's got a violent swing as it is anyway. I think this is always going to be the case with him, in that when he gets out of himself and he stops trying to hit the ball to the center of the field and go to the opposite field like he did last night. I thought last night his first two at-bats were much more encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to take the ball up the middle and you're taking the ball where it's pitched, you're not swinging as hard. And so he's so strong, he doesn't need to swing as hard as possible. So, but yeah, I think it's subconscious when, you know, you've signed that deal and you know that you're the man and you're hitting number three in the order and playing for a new fan base, especially at home. I think so.
One of the things we've seen of him, though, he plays hard. Man, he was diving into the wall, down five runs the other night.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he's tolerating Odubel, who Sunday again got stuck at first base because he wouldn't run, John? Is he the kind of guy that would talk to Odubel himself and say, you can't do that on this team, the culture's different now?
You know, it's funny. I don't know that he would have done that when he was in Washington,
right,
because, you know, he started there so young. I don't think that was his role there. I don't know if that's his role here. You know, Andrew McCutchen is a guy I think I would see maybe handling that. But I don't know. It's you know, I'm not in the clubhouse, so it's hard to say. But I think he has shown that, you know, he especially early in the season has taken more of a leadership role here with the Phillies. He knows that he's a team leader. He's He's the guy with the big contract. He's the guy the rest of the lineup, I think, looks to on the field produce. And so I think he is probably taking on more responsibility in the locker room. But as far as getting on teammates when they don't hustle or when they don't play the game the right way, so to speak, you know, I'm not sure.
Now, when you're a lawyer, you know what they say to you? What? Never ask a question you don't already know the answer to. We have reached that segment in this interview. The next few questions I'm going to ask, John, I already know the answer to, but I want to get your take on them. Number one, is Jake Arrieta worth $25 million this year?
No, he's not.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, no, he's $25 million. You expect a number two starter, and he's simply not that. His command is terribly inconsistent. I mean, you look at his ball, it moves like crazy. You would think a guy whose ball moves like that would be able to get outs more consistently and get more swings and misses. But, you know, I know the defense let him down last night, and the defense typically doesn't do terribly well for him, but he also walked four guys and hit a batter. He walked the pitcher to lead off an inning. You know, that's consistent. That's what he's done since he's been here so far. So, no, he's not worth $25 million a year.
All right, you are one for one. Question number two. This is a fill in the blanks. The Phillies' best offseason acquisition is?
JT Realmuto.
I don't know. I got Gene Segura. It's going to break the tie on that one. They're both really good. I'm thrilled
to
have
both of them.
Are you thrilled
with what Realmuto is giving you offensively?
I think, John, answer. I'm sorry.
I think Realmuto, I mean, I think the power isn't quite what we were expecting, but everything else has been there. He's hitting line drives like crazy. He's been the team's best hitter with runners in scoring position. He's been good on the bases. He's been terrific behind the plate throwing runners out.
Oh, yeah, that nod has been great. I'd give a little slight edge to Segura, just a little bit over
They're
Realmuto.
Both good, John. Either one is the correct answer. And finally, on the Phillies part, I got a couple of Eagles things for you, but on the Phillies part. Are the Phillies going to win the division?
I think so. I think they have, I mean, especially because this lineup hasn't really gotten going yet. It's been very inconsistent. When they get going, this can be a really good team. I think this team has yet to go on a long winning streak. I think that's coming. So
yeah, me too.
I look at the Nationals. I thought the Nationals were their primary competition. They look terrible.
Oh, my God.
No, I honestly think the Phillies, when they do hit that groove, John, they're going to blow the division out. I think they're going to win easily this year. I really do. What happens in the playoff, who knows, but we got to get there first. All right, Eagles, I think there's a crisis building, in my mind at least, over Joe Douglas because the stupid Jets fired their GM. And Adam Gase has a connection with Joe Douglas, who is a great personnel guy on the Eagles. And every indication is they're going to try to get Joe Douglas to go to the Jets. Do you think he'll leave to go there with the GM title?
You know, if I would have concerns about going to be the general manager of a team where the head coach is Gase, but, you know, they know each other, and these GM jobs don't come up very often, you know. And they have a good young quarterback there in Sam Darnold, so you're starting off with at least a promising young quarterback in place. If I'm Joe Douglas, I probably see this as my opportunity, and I probably take the gig because, again, I mean, how many of these types of opportunities are you going to get? You're the general manager of an NFL team. It's New York market, so I mean it's certainly a spot where you're going to have the resources to do what you need to do. It's always a little bit tricky going to a franchise that has been such a loser over the last decades.
And Adam Gase has no winning record.
None.
Here's what I'm thinking.
A power struggle, Angelo.
here's the way I'm thinking. Yeah, because it's the Jets. That's how we got that power struggle. Here's what I'm thinking. No one currently holds the Eagles' title of GM, right? I'm not saying that would mean Joe Douglas has final say on personnel. I don't think he's going to have it with Adam Gase in New York anyway. Why don't they give him the GM title, pay him like a GM here, keep him here, and he's in a much better situation than he would be if he went to New York?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that argument, and I guess it's just a matter of how much power would he have in New York with Adam Gase.
I mean, yeah.
I can't imagine that an organization would give Adam Gase more power than Joe Douglas over personnel. It's mind-boggling that something like that would happen.
How does a Jets organization allow the GM to make the personnel moves, go through the draft, and 3 weeks later fire him?
It's crazy.
How did he survive past Ty Bowles?
No, that's right. John, that almost never happened. They give you all the power, then they get rid of you.
I think it's a matter of they were waiting for Joe Douglas to be available. I guess it was The Eagles had basically said, we need him through the draft. But at a certain point, Joe Douglas becomes available now that the draft is over. And so now the Jets decide this is the time to do it. I think it was largely dependent on who might be available in another organization. And we also don't know exactly how this power struggle manifested itself in New York either. How did Adam Gase win this? Obviously something has gone down there over these last few weeks and months. And so it's hard to know exactly what the timeline is in New York for this whole thing.
He looked the owner in the eyes with those crazy eyes and won him over.
Yeah, he won a stare down, I guess is how it goes.
My theory is he stabbed the GM in the back. That's what I saw. John Stolness, read him, listen to him. He's the best in the business. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
Very good speculation on stuff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.